This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
What's up? Welcome to another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. Program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and another massive program forthcoming as we gear up for the upcoming 2025 NFL campaign. We'll catch around the headlines around the league. We'll catch you up on those here at the tippy top of the program. We also have over at fantasypoints.com a big announcement today that is going to be relevant for this program, and I'll get into that in a moment. We'll talk wide receivers today. As promised, I've got my wide receiver targets all lined up. We could talk a little bit about my plan of attack, but I've got a number of really good players. I'm really picky this year in terms of the players that I truly get behind. So I'm hoping that that leads to even more accuracy. It's usually pretty good, but there's always stuff that gets in the way, but nothing gets in the way of our guy, Tom Brawley, a.k.a. the Grinder, the betting maven over at fantasypoints.com. He will pop in with us, also a fantasy football maven as well, with the risers and the fallers. You know, we've just gone through, what, 6, 7, 8 weeks of the preseason / training camp. All right, who rose up the board? Who fell leading up to week one, as we have 1 week to go, by the way? 1 week from tonight, we'll be watching NFL football, and hopefully we'll be winning some props, and I'll talk some wide receiver props here in the final segment. But before we get into our headlines, I do want to announce quickly that over at fantasypoints.com, and you can go on X and read our guy Scott Barrett's tweet, his thread about this, at Scott Barrett DFB. But long story short, fantasypoints.com has launched an AI tool. And before you say that, AI is taking over the world and all that, we are not replacing any human being with AI. We are not using AI for our projections or really anything that's really all up in there, down and dirty with the hashtag analysis and all the stats. But as you'll learn in a moment, what I'm going to be using AI for this tool, and it's all powered by Fantasy Points data. It doesn't really crawl out on the interwebs, maybe a little bit, but it's mostly all in-house stuff. What I'm really happy about, and this is not a fake smile, is my research time for this program has been dramatically reduced. So I just asked, it's called Ball Knowledge. And by the way, even though it's called Ball Knowledge, it is AI. It's literally 200% better than it was 3 weeks ago. So we can change the name as it evolves. We could call it Steve by November. Who knows? We'll see. But let's get into the news and the notes here, and I will give you some examples of the power of Ball Knowledge over at fantasypoints.com, the new AI tool. Well, big story today, and it's not that big, but it's probably one of the more notable ones. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel said Tyreek Hill looks great for week one. Now, I've seen all the reporting and I've seen Tyreek out there himself running. I do believe that he can still run. But I asked Ball Knowledge, was there any bad data on Tyreek Hill? And we all know he played through the wrist injury, but here's what the AI tool that we launched today shows us about Tyreek Hill from last year. Yards per route run fell sharply from historically elite levels in 2023 and 2022. Big time drop. You know, he dropped to 0.45. That was still okay at wide receiver 17, but we saw a drop there in the efficiency. His target share plummeted from 31.1% in 2023 to only 20% in 2024. The offense featured a little bit more Devon Achane. The separation and the route win rates also declined. These are a bunch of red flags. So end of the day, it's kind of a tough call, but my biggest fear as an analyst and an ageist is to back a dude who is on the downside or falls off a cliff, basically. So if you recall my criteria, I'm not backing you if you're 30 or older unless you're a lock for Canton. And it's funny because Tyreek, he's right there. I think he's right there on the fringe. Another big season, maybe two more big seasons, and I think he's in. But I don't know if he's in right now, quite frankly. I mean, the career peak is unbelievable, but we don't have, you know, a ton of years there. But that was the first news item that piqued my interest. Also in Green Bay, Jaden Reed returned to practice, but he said that his week one status still feels uncertain. I didn't look up any data on Jaden Reed. I probably should have. I did run out of time, quite frankly, but it's kind of a new item that just came down the line, by the way. I don't really worry about Jordan Love, but I don't love. I do like Jordan Love, but I don't really love any of the receivers here. I do have Matthew Golden on my list, but end of the day, good offense. They're going to balance it out. Jordan Love, I know he had the ligament injury and the non-throwing hand. You know, all the data on him is encouraging considering he played hurt last year. I still like him, but I don't really love any of these receivers other than maybe Golden. I'll take a shot with Golden just because I'm all about upside. But Romeo Dobbs is probably going to be fairly active. The vibes have been a little weird with Romeo Dobbs. He seems to be a little unhappy here, perhaps due to the drafting of Matthew Golden. But I do think he's a dirt cheap option really late. His ADP is like 160. You could do a lot worse for a depth receiver. Then I guess Tucker Kraft might be the guy to look for here. I'm not in, because I do worry a little bit about Luke Musgrave, because I think Luke Musgrave is still very, very good. I liked him more than Kraft. But end of the day, I'm not that worried about Jordan Love for these receivers, but I don't love these receivers here, including Jaden Reed. I was a big Jaden Reed guy, but I don't know. There's been weird vibes there. Ever since he did that Amon-Ra podcast, Amon-Ra St. Brown's podcast last year, he kind of hinted about, oh, I'll someday be a Lion. It's like, that's not good, considering he went to Michigan State, you know, so he's a Michigan kind of a guy. Packers signed Mecole Hardman. Speaking of the Packers, not really that notable, but I guess he's a capable body who does have some experience, plenty of experience. You know, my guy Bo Melton, shout out to Bo Melton and his brother Max. I grew up with their father in South Jersey, Gary Melton. Still talk with him a lot. I've met both of the sons, of course, seen him play high school football. He's moved to corner, which is ironic because that's what the position his brother plays, safety or corner. But they could always swap him back to receiver if need be. Darnell Mooney, this is big, practicing on Thursday. It's his first practice since July 24th. And I think it certainly bodes well in terms of him trending toward playing in week number one. I did a little deep dive on Darnell Mooney with the new AI tool over at fantasypoints.com. Just 8 yards shy of 1,000 yards. Would have been the second time. How about this, though? He was the clear number two, obviously, behind Drake London. They were top 10 in plays per game and tempo, by the way. But from weeks two through four, Darnell Mooney averaged just two fewer yards per game than London, who was like a second round pick. Mooney was like a 14th round pick. So I am back, as they released DJ Chark a couple of weeks ago. That to me signaled good news on Darnell Mooney. And oh, by the way, per the AI tool, which pulled an article from our guy Ryan Heath on the website, Atlanta's new play-action-heavy approach bodes well for Mooney. He averaged 49% more fantasy points per route run on play-action in 2024. So, once again, let's draft Darnell Mooney. I mean, I know people kind of laughed at me for loving Darnell Mooney, but I don't know if they were laughing last year when Mooney was balling out. We did have a Marv Mims injury come down the line. He did leave practice with a groin injury, so that's a little bit of a worry. But I do have a Marvin Mims prop that I like. And here's a couple of data points from the website fantasypoints.com and the new AI tool. In 2024, Mims ranked fifth in yards per route run with 2.78, 14th in targets per route run. He was also fourth in designed targets. So I do like Marvin Mims as, you know, kind of a late round flyer type of guy. One other tidbit here, the Rams and their offensive coordinator, Mike LaFleur, spoke about their backfield plans. And they have said this all year that their plan is to split up the touches a little bit to keep Kyren fresh. Now, they just signed Kyren to a contract extension, so they're not down on him. But, you know, you do worry about it a little bit. Now, the mention, of course, was not actually the rookie Jarquez Hunter. So I thought that that would be a little bit of a thorn in Kyren's side, and Corum would be just be the backup. But they're mentioning Blake Corum, so they might rotate these guys in a little bit. And Jarquez Hunter, I thought, looked pretty darn good in the preseason. Just getting started here in the program. When we return, we'll take a look at my wide receiver targets. But first, as the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with a proprietary AI handicapping tool that provides data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. First Bet's in-app tool gives you win, place, and show probabilities for each runner so you can quickly and easily identify good plays and improve your ROI. And right now, you can take advantage of their limited time $250 sign-up offer to claim your bonus. Use promo code VSiN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or at firstbet.com. That is promo code VSiN250. When we return, I do have my player targets that I'm into this year for your fantasy drafts. That is next here on this Thursday edition of Prop Points on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back with another jam-packed segment here on Prop Points on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. Program, as always, produced by Mikey Cohen. I'm going to alter it. He's Mikey, he's Mike, he's Michael. I am a nickname person. I am a first name alterer. But we are up to the segment where I pop out my wide receiver targets. We're going to list these in order of ADP. You'll find that some of these dudes have that little asterisk, and those are like top priority dudes here. And I try not to bother with first round picks. You know, obviously you don't need me to tell you to draft Jamar Chase. Babies being born this week know to draft Jamar Chase. I'm going to start off with Nico Collins, who actually, he's wide receiver 7. He's down the board a little bit. He's outside of the first round, and I am loving it. Over his last 30 games, wide receiver 8 by fantasy points per game, leads all wide receivers with an incredible 3.1 yards per route run over the last 2 years. Only wide receiver to rank top 10 in back-to-back years in yards per route run against both man and zone coverages. Translation, he's a baller, and they really need him because they're breaking in those two rookie receivers from Iowa State, and as well as Christian Kirk, who's new to the team. I think they're going to be quite pass happy as well. Brian Thomas, oh, just absolutely love him. Last year, 284 fantasy points, fourth most for a rookie, trailing only OBJ, Puka, and Jamar Chase. And meanwhile, Brian Thomas is getting balls thrown to him by Mac Jones. I actually like Mac Jones, but, I mean, he's not as good as those other quarterbacks like Eli Manning and Matthew Stafford and Joe Burrow. So he's unbelievable. 75 receiving yards per game. Just one of 10 rookies to do it since the merger. Dominant by after the bye. Dominant. Absolutely dominant. 45 receptions, 593 yards, 5 tutties. Scorched earth finish last year for Brian Thomas. And also, hey, Liam Cohen is going to move him all over the formation, put him in the slot. A lot of easy button targets, screens, slants, really going to improve the fantasy value. I am in on Jaxon Smith-Njigba this year for fantasy. I have not been really the last couple of years. Ninth among wide receivers in receptions last year with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett on the team. Seventh in routes, went on a tear down the stretch, 69 plus yards in 8 straight games. He actually out-alphaed DK, earning a higher target share last year than DK Metcalf. Clint Kubiak he's conservative, the new offensive coordinator, but he's efficient. JSN averaged 34 more fantasy points per route run on plays with pre-snap motion, and that is big time in Clint Kubiak's kind of toolbox here. So I also like Sam Darnold in this offense. The same offense as Minnesota, basically. They'll put him under center. They'll do a lot of play action, which he's really good at, and they'll define the reads for the quarterback and make it easy. And that's how one of the reasons how Kevin O'Connell, people are like, how the hell did he do it? That's one of the reasons right there. And they will continue to do that this year. Now, Garrett Wilson is still on my list. I am a little worried because Jet's going to jet, but I like the offensive line improvements. And we are looking at a massive target share of well over 30%. So I will take him just because he's good. He's really good. And at the very least, and we don't really see that much in a lot of this data, but at the very least, he is good. But at the very least, if Fields is awful again, at least Tyrod Taylor is a professional. And, you know, he'll get him the ball. I also, and again, I'm an ageist, unless you are bound for Canton, and I do believe that Davante Adams is, in fact, that at wide receiver 20. You know, there were some pretty good data there. The separation data was awful for the Raiders, but once he went over to the Jets, it was solid. They are pass happy and wide receiver happy. The two wide receivers last year, Kupp and Puka, 58% target share. Stafford targets his wide receivers at a 72% clip. So Devontae's going to be fine working as the number two. I'm still in on Rashee Rice, and I apologize for that. But on games where he ran at least 60% of the Chiefs' routes, he produced very impressive totals. It's 13 games total, 85 grabs, 886 and 6. That would have had him at like wide receiver 10. His 4.23 yards per route run against zone coverage led all of football. That's why Patty throws to him, because he finds those soft spots in the zone. He makes himself an available target, and he's good. So he's big, and he catches the ball well, and that's why he gets fed the ball. I also like Devontae Smith, a.k.a. Skinny Batman. Still love him. You know, his average separation score last year, a.k.a. his ass, per fantasy points data, 13th among all wide receivers, behind A.J. Brown. In the only two games, by the way, he's played without Brown since 2022, he averages 17.8 fantasy points per game, which would be wide receiver 7. Philadelphia's bottom 4 pass rate last year, I think, will change a little bit. I think they're going to have to matriculate the ball down the field via the forward pass just a little bit more than last year. Otherwise, we might have to switch to leather helmets in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts, who I believe threw it 24 times per game last year. Next up, I'm still in on Jameson Williams. Target share last year, 20%. That's not bad. He had a first read target share, though, of 23%. Per fantasy points data. So that means Jared Goff was looking at him as a primary read quite a bit. And I think that's going to increase this year as he continues to, you know, round into form and work on a complete route tree. Very electrifying in camp. Might line up in the slot, by the way, just a little bit more. Next up, we talked about this one yesterday. I like George Pickens just in general. We'll talk about, I have a prop for George that we'll get to, but I've always been a George Pickett person, and I like the environment there. I mean, Dallas, Dak's arm might fall off, basically. He might throw it 700 times if he plays in 17 games. Next up, I do like Tet McMillan, wide receiver 29, Adam Thielen, as we said earlier in the week, he was going, and he did. 77% route share, 18.7% target share in 2024 before being traded. So that's a lot of, you know, targets opening up here for Tet. The last 8 wide receivers drafted inside the top 10 have averaged 128 targets a game as rookies. And I think there was only like 6 receivers total who had over 100 last year. So it's pretty crazy. Let's move a little quicker here down the board here because we've got a lot of them here. Love me some Calvin Ridley. He's the alpha. Debo Samuel, I might talk about him for a prop. I like Ibuka, wide receiver 46. I wouldn't go overboard with it. Same thing with Matthew Golden. But if you're looking for some juice, some upside, those two guys are certainly flashing in camp. I am going to talk Ricky Pearsall. He's also, of course, on my list when I talk props. Real quick on Josh Downs. I mean, he's good. Fourth best in targets per route run at 30% last year. He was 10th in first downs per route run, top five in average separation score. And when he played with Joe Flacco, he averaged 15.5 fantasy points per game, which would have ranked as a wide receiver 16. I do think that Daniel Jones might be, you know, as good as Flacco last year. We talked Mooney at the top of the program. I also like me some Darnell Mooney. Very cheap at wide receiver 49. Back in practice today, which means we've got a week plus before the opener. I would bet that he plays in week one. And then real late, I still like Hollywood Brown. Not a bad insurance policy for Rashee Rice. And as well, I do like Josh Palmer. We're going to be joined by the grinder, Tom Brawley, on the other side. But first, if you think you're better than the experts, then prove it in the Edge Boost Average Joe contest, the same pick'em format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational with the pros. The top average Joe earns a spot in next year's Top 25 Pro Circa Invitational. And it's free to play. You can register anytime during the season to be eligible for weekly and quarterly prizes. Plus, each week, the highest score gets a $500 Edge Boost deposit. And if the winner, the weekly winner, already has an Edge Boost account, that prize is boosted to $1,000. Make sure you're eligible. Sign up at edgeboost.bet with the promo code VEASAN. Enter the contest today at VEASAN.com/Joe. And when we return, ahead of my look at the wide receiver props that I'm feeling, our guy Tom Brawley, the grinder, will fill us in on the ever-shifting landscape with movers and fallers, risers and fallers. Tom Brawley next here from the preseason on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
With this Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN, I'm John Hansen. And without any further ado, right to the progressive guest line to bring in Tom Brawley, a.k.a. The Grinder, senior writer and betting maven over at FantasyPoints.com on the X Machine, at Tom Brawley. He's always in the film room, in the data room, grinding hard, and he's always available during the season. Hey, Tom, what's up?
I'm doing great. My life researching has gotten a little bit easier today. Fantasy Points rolling out a new AI product. It's going to hopefully save myself a little bit of time, but you're right, John. I'm always grinding, always coming up with articles. So any way to you know, save a little bit of time, I'm going to take advantage of that.
Well, I'd say 90 minutes of research for this show, using this new AI tool in about 15 minutes, basically. That's about what it took to like query 15 different players and get some data. But you're here to, you know, talk risers and fallers. We all know what that is, but you know, you in particular, like you have your finger on the pulse of everything all year. You do all the write-ups of free agency, previewing it, reviewing it, getting ready for the draft, post-draft, rookie minicamp, training camp, I mean, you're all over it. So just give us, you know, some risers and fallers of note here. I see you've got Trevion Henderson as a riser. I mean, to input my thoughts, you know, we all know the guy can run like the wind, like Forrest Gump out there. But I just love how he finishes runs and he doesn't fumble. Tells me he's a hell of a football player.
Yeah, and that's been a problem for Ramondre Stevenson. He's been, you know, he fumbles a little bit too much, and that was a major issue last year. And Mike Vrabel is a no-nonsense type of coach. So if he puts one on the ground early in the season, maybe we get to see a little bit more Henderson right away. But he's been skyrocketing throughout August. His ADP has risen by a round or two. It was kind of like a fifth, sixth round pick, and now I'm in drafts. Yeah. He's routinely going in the fourth round. A lot of that had to do with that 100-yard kickoff return in the first preseason game. But we've seen the highlights all training camp long. Him putting linebackers and safeties in a blender on wheel routes, and he's going to be Josh McDaniels, James White, or any number of those pass catching threats out of the backfield. Sure. In New England over the last 15 to 20 years under Tom Brady. Now we have Trevion Henderson, and maybe he can carve out a little bit more of that rushing role, kind of split it at Ohio State with Quinshon Judkins. But Henderson's got a lot of upside here. If I'm playing in a PPR full PPR format, I would love to walk away with him in the fourth round.
Speaking of Ohio State, you also have Emeka Ibuka as a riser. I guess the Godwin situation, the McMillan injury, but what else do you see there with Ibuka?
I mean, the praise for this kid has been constant throughout training camp. The one thing about him coming into the draft, led Ohio State in receptions there. A lot of great wide receivers coming through that Ohio State program over the last decade here and throughout history. So for him to be at the top of that receptions leaderboard, it was kind of debatable how high of a ceiling he was going to have coming into the league. He was kind of viewed as a high floor type of prospect, but how much ceiling is he going to have? But it seems like the ceiling could be a little bit higher than anticipated, just based on how everybody's talking about him in camp. And the Chris Godwin news seems like he's going to be out for the first month of the season here. They're going to ease him back into action. Jalen McMillan suffered a pretty unfortunate neck injury in the preseason game against the Steelers. Kind of landed awkwardly, and he was a guy that a lot of people were using at the end of last year to help them win fantasy championships off the waiver wire. So role is pretty solidified, at least early in the season. If he proves himself, maybe that role just kind of stays the same the rest of the year. And Chris Godwin's had two major injuries here. There's no guarantees that he's going to get back to 100%. We also had a little bit of a piece of news come out the last couple of days. Cade Otton, the tight end, it's looking like he's going to miss at least week one. So that role for Emeka Ibuka and even Mike Evans, they're going to see a lot of targets the first couple of weeks of the season. Definitely some players we'll be thinking about for player props.
Yeah, Otten's prospects for week one look quite rotten right now. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I can't help rhyming Otten with rotten. But we're talking with Tom Brawley of fantasypoints.com on the X Machine at Tom Brawley. You also have Matthew Golden on your list, the first Packers receiver drafted in round one in over two decades. And Jaden Reed looks iffy for week one. Christian Watson, very iffy. He's out. I like Golden. He's on my list. I worry a little bit about, physicality playing through contact, but I know he's a uber athletic dude.
Yeah. Really athletic. He's going to be the deep threat a little bit for this offense, but his role is going to be pretty solidified early in the season. The Jaden Reed news, very scary. That came out today. Reportedly has a Jones fracture that he's going to try to play through. That has trouble written all over it. I would not be surprised if he tries to play through it and ultimately decides to get a surgery, or and that could knock him out for multiple months. So either way, it does not sound good for Jaden Reed. Golden was a player that's been on the rise all summer long here. Yeah. Don't draft Jaden Reed. I'll be adding to our overvalues and avoids article for this weekend, and Jaden Reed will be appearing on there. It's been a logjam at receiver for the Packers, but this is it feels like the first time here in a while that maybe we can have a couple receivers emerge with a little bit less competition. And Golden would be that guy that used a first-round pick on him. Romeo Doubs, real late in drafts. Nobody wants to draft this guy. He's so boring, but not a bad player to have towards the end of your roster. I think he's going to have a pretty solidified role. So, yeah, we'll see about this Jaden Reed situation, but it does not sound good.
I should mention that Tom has a great article covering a lot of these players in the VSiN NFL betting guide version 2.0. So see, now you're now a published columnist or writer over at VSiN, and you've got a lot more, you know, dudes on in the article, I'm sure. But let's take a look at some of the buzzkills here, some of the fallers, and you got a couple of Rams here. Like, is it all Stafford and concerns there, or do you have any other concerns with the Ram guys who will Bogart the targets most likely as long as they're out there?
No, this is mostly just comes down to Matthew Stafford in this back injury. It's been pretty good here over the last 2 weeks. He's been able to practice, but there is concern early in the season. Hasn't been doing a whole lot of physical activity. What if he takes a shot in that back area? Aggravates the injury. So that's the major concern here. But we've seen both Nacua and Adams, their ADPs have fallen. Nacua was kind of a mid-first round pick, and now he's going towards the back end of the first round. I still think he's a good pick. We're really high on him over at Fantasy Points. I think he's a good selection still. And Davante Adams, we've seen Matthew Stafford support top 24 wide receivers. Three out of the last 4 years, Cooper Kupp, obviously, with Puka Nacua. I think Adams is looking like a strong pick, but he's another guy that's fallen a little bit in ADP. So you're rolling the dice here a little bit, but if Stafford is on the field, both of these guys are looking like really strong fantasy options. But the ADP for both of them has fallen quite dramatically since the start of August.
What a difference a year makes with Terry McLaurin. Last year, I was like 30 spots over his ADP. This year, I've been behind it the whole way. You're listing him here. Is how much of it is just concerns over an injury due to a lack of physical activity this month?
Yeah, that's for sure an issue here. We see that sometimes with these guys that hold out and aren't practicing a whole lot at the beginning of training camp. So that's a concern. And I'm just more concerned about, he kind of played at a ceiling last year, was not a prolific touchdown scorer, never a top five touchdowns in his last four seasons. Jaden Daniels comes in, he scores 13 touchdowns, but he actually saw fewer targets than he has over the last 5 years, with just 117 targets. Now we got Deebo Samuel coming in. Zach Ertz is still here. I think he's being drafted towards his ceiling. Just a little, he's about six picks too high for me. I would go with another receiver at that spot.
Get access to the NFL Betting Guide 2.0 for the rest of Tom's article and the College Football Betting Guide for as little as $9.99 for your first 30 days. Head to visa.com/subscribe to see which subscription works best for you. Great stuff, Tom, as always. We'll talk to you next week. And final segment, wide receiver props. A lot of winners here. Stay close. Prop points.
Prop points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment on a very fast-moving Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. Thanks for watching, as always. And more like you're welcome, quite frankly, because I think these props are going to do very well because I've been very, very picky. I looked at the wide receiver board for about 3 hours straight this morning. I may have spoken in tongues at some point. I may have been hypnotized by the data, but I'm all about coming up with the right answer. I'm kidding, of course. I did stare at the damn board, though, and I'm just waiting for things, you know, to come to me, if you will. But I also compared the numbers with our actual projections, and they're all over the projections. So let's get into it real quick. A lot of these guys I already have covered with a lot of the great data points, like Nico Collins and Brian Thomas Jr. I like these two. 1125.5 for Nico is lock city as long as we don't have an injury catastrophe. Collins ranked behind only Puka and AJ Brown in yards per route run in 2024. What else do we need to know? Top five finish in average separation score. He also only wide receiver to rank top 10 in yards per route run against both man and zone coverages. AKA, he's a baller, as is Brian Thomas, 2.76 yards per route run, best by a rookie in fantasy points history, for what it's worth. The company's only, I think, 4 years old now, 3 years. But let's move on to a guy I haven't hit on yet today. It's Courtland Sutton, over 6.5 regular season touchdown receptions, coming off the best year of his career. And, you know, by the way, watching the preseason, I was watching the last game just a few days ago, and he didn't really have much. I took my dog for a walk. I come back, he's got like six catches for like 83 yards. He just signed a big extension. He is Bo Nix's guy. From week eight on, he averaged 79.9 receiving yards per game. That was a big number there. So Courtland Sutton, Mr. Red Zone. I mean, they also traded away Devon Villay, which does not hurt. Tet McMillan. Oh, we did cover Tet, but I do like over 66.5 receptions. Adam Thielen had that 77% route share and an 18.7% target share off the roster now. Tet looks good this summer. I have confidence in the offense. You know, the offensive line has been stabilized going back to last year with Dave Canales. Bryce Young looks like the same guy who excelled down the stretch last year. So, and now he's finally got an alpha, because the data on Bryce Young was actually pretty good despite a very mediocre receiving core. I mean, let's be honest. So do like Tet. Mike Evans, big Mike, again, over 30, but he's on one of my lists because he is, in fact, Canton bound, going for another 1,000 this year. But here's how we know whether or not an older player still has it. It's very, very simple. Mike Evans had the best raw average separation score of any wide receiver last year. So he had a wonderful ass, the average separation score. I still am not sick of playing around with that, but it's named ass for a reason. It's kind of funny, but it is very telling. Average separation score. Mike Evans, over 30, still kicking butt. With Godwin out, too, that helps. Ibuka, the rookie. When Godwin missed time last year, Evans had 20.7 fantasy points per game, by the way. 11 touchdowns in 2024. He's got 24 the last two seasons. So very confident with Baker in the saddle there that he'll get up to 8 tutties. Also very confident, as we covered yesterday, that George Pickens will get 5. Well, he'll get 6. He won't get 5.5 touchdowns, because that would be a really good bet if you won that. He'll get 6, though, because Dak Prescott might have to throw it 700 times this year. They have no running game, and they do have a pretty good passing game. I like Pickens opposite Lamb. I like Pickens as it helps Lamb, and I like Pickens as Lamb helps him, basically, you know, because last year he was a little bit of a marked man. The books in DraftKings, they have Dak with the 6th highest odds to lead the NFL in passing touchdowns. So I like that. And I also like DK Metcalf. I'm not a big DK person. I've never have been, because I kind of think he's got limitations, but we all know he's huge and he runs like a deer in a straight line. The problem I have with him is a full diverse route tree and, you know, change of direction, quick twitchy stuff. He takes him a while to throttle down, you know, which, you know, when he's making his cuts, things like that. You know, I'm more of a quick twitch guy. But hey, he is the guy, Aaron Rodgers feeds his alpha, and his target share has actually dropped. But I think he is going to get this year in Pittsburgh the highest target share he's had in at least 3 years. So I think that will result in seven touchdowns at least. We talked Marvin Mims. I kind of like this. He did get a little hurt today or yesterday, but I don't know if it's serious. I don't think it is. He actually was fifth in yards per route run with 2.78. Granted, a lot of it's big plays, but that's kind of what he does. 14th in targets per route run down the stretch. That is among 116. Actually, that's all on the season. 116 wide receivers with at least 50 targets. He was also fourth in design targets. They traded away Valet. So they are a little thinned out here. And I think he's proven a lot to Sean Payton. So, I mean, come on. 552. He might get that by Halloween. I also like Nico Collins over 78.5 receptions. We already talked Nico. We've talked a lot of Nico. Very big on Nico. Here's a guy we haven't talked on. It's Malik Nabers. You know, I'm always a little worried about, you know, the vibes, the situation, but I'm with the markets this year. I'm not actively targeting him, but I'm not against him. I have him right priced where he's going off the board, basically. A very elite 31% target share, a very huge 42% air yard share. That's an alpha. That's a true number one. 1,609 receiving air yards and 462 yards after the catch show a very strong mix, you know, of downfield ability and run after the catch ability. Now, his yards per target numbers were above average barely. Why? Craptastic quarterback play. So now we're going to get better quarterback play with Jackson Dart, period. Either Russ Wilson's going to play well and hold Dart off, or Russ will stink and Dart will play. I also like Tet McMillan. Over 850.5 regular season receiving yards, again with the volume from Bryce Young. My guy Ricky Pearsall, over 875.5 regular season receiving yards in three games with six or more targets. Ricky averaged 21.6 fantasy points, and that shows big upside. 14 catches for 210 yards and two touchdowns on 18 targets across his last three games. And then I also, and no Deebo Samuel, and Juwan Jennings also banged up. And I also like the aforementioned Deebo Samuel, 705 regular season receiving yards. Cliff Kingsbury's offenses have ranked top five in screen passes. They did last year. Deebo leads all NFL in wide receivers in the percentage of targets coming via design plays like screen passes. And he's still one of the very best, if not the best, in the league in yak yards after the catch. So we are looking pretty darn good there with Deebo Samuel, who I've been on all year, by the way. I know there were some reports that he was a little heavy, but no, he's a bigger dude, and he looked pretty good on that 19-yard jet sweep earlier in the preseason about 2 weeks ago. Those props were brought to you, by the way, by GBank. GBank is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn a $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is open with the GBank Visa signature card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3-5% on every single deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. That will wrap it up here for a Thursday edition of Prop Points. Stay tuned to VSiN after we sign off. It's Money Moves with Stormy and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 p.m. Eastern. On today's show, Stanford Steve gives his top college football bets plus more. And we have Follow the Money and Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. Then stick around for VSiN Primetime. Matt Humans and Will Hill at 7 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow's show, we'll wrap up the week with a look at tight end props. We also have some funky props that we'll be into to end the week on a Friday, a Labor Day weekend. Enjoy it. We'll catch you manana for another edition of Prop Points.